And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. Good! Oh, you're kidding me!
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. Do you hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome back to an NFL free agency edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. Sam Darnold,
49ers, Javon Hargrave, all the
baby,
big stuff.
That's the big one.
It's all I do. And what do I?
Jalen Ramsey's not the big one.
All I do in the Warriors locker room is talk to Clay and Steph about the NFL. That's all I do. But it's interesting stuff because every Panther ends up on the 49ers, as Steph Curry has.
Probably not a good thing if you're just stockpiling Panthers. That's just my opinion. But all right. At least not.
Panthers, yeah. Hey, whatever. They got pretty good. McCaffrey's pretty good.
The first one was good. They may have dipped into the well and found a... all right. Warriors win.
Panthers plus minus.
So, Warriors, what was the final?
Moses Moody, James Wiseman, Trey Lance,
123-112, Warriors victory.
It was really about the first quarter. Klay Thompson had 18 in the first quarter, 33 at half, including that moon ball fadeaway to over Devin Booker, who he enjoyed that being over, to end the second quarter. He was fired up, quite clearly. And he can kind of shoo it off as it was in the matchup. I was just hot. That's why I was fired up. But we saw what happened in Phoenix. Marcus, you were at the game. He got ejected. It was like first career ejection in Phoenix. This was about Devin Booker. This was about the Suns. This was about him saying, hey, I feel a lot better than I did when I was in Phoenix early, because they played both those games pretty early in the year. And he wanted to show them, not only by making the shots, but he was doing too small at the bench. He was kind of bobbing up and down. I thought it was about Klay tonight.
He Klay's pettiness, his beef, like, sparked the team. Like, you know, they get off to cold starts. This is what they do. They get down 15, 20 points. But Klay was so lit that it lifted everybody up. Next thing you know, everybody's talking. Everybody's going crazy. The last time when he got ejected in Phoenix, you know, the four rings game, like, the talk was, why are you living in the past? Like, this is old. Tonight was Klay saying, oh, yeah, no, I'm still. Like, yeah. this ain't old. I got four rings, and also, you still can't guard me.
How will the four rings argument land when Kevin Durant's on the floor, by the way? That's what I'm
wondering. He's only got two. Durant's got two.
It will land right in Devin Booker's ear, because he has zero.
Or CP3. Yeah. CP3.
It ain't going to land on KD.
This was old school, because they designed, the first play, though, they designed a shot for Klay. Like, this was what they used to do in the old days. Like, just get Klay going. Steph doesn't need to get hot right away. When they had Durant, it's a whole other thing. Let's get Klay feeling it. And I used to judge them by that. If Klay makes his first shot, when they get it for him, he's going to be good the rest of the game. If he doesn't, he might have to work for it. This one, boom, hits a three. Then he gets an inside shot. I forget exactly how he got inside. It's a little runner, and then off he goes. Maybe they ought to just keep, you know, I'm sure they've tried it and hasn't quite worked, but maybe they really ought to just get Klay the ball in a shooting position, first possession of the game, let it unfold from there.
Is that higher efficiency than when the Thunder used to post up Kendrick Perkins on
the
first play of every game to, like, get the big man a touch to get the juices flowing?
They used to do that with somebody at the Warriors.
Klay, it's always Klay. I mean, old days.
Talking about a post up guy, like Eric Dampier, maybe?
Somebody, it was.
Andrew Bogut, maybe? Oh,
It was something like that. Yeah, just get the ball to him.
Edrins?
HB, maybe?
Eric Dampier? No. And also, Steph was feeling. I mean, Steph, we saw the video. He muscles it past. He does. And by the way, I just thought, I didn't. This is before we saw a video of him saying, "What this ain't 2014 anymore. Like, he's built up. He's stronger. But he just, like, the muscling to down the baseline, we don't see Steph do. He like just put his head down and said, "I am getting there." Like we saw Booker do throughout this game. Booker does that.
Well,
stuff.
We don't see him going against like 5'11", 38-year-olds too often.
He goes against, you know, Devon Walker, whatever. I mean, we know he was great in the last game, but it just definitely felt like Steph had something, a point to prove in a less demonstrative way, maybe, than Clay. But he had something to say out there too, and you know, partly that was Clay getting him going. But I think it was the Suns had beat them 3 straight times, as Kerr noted. They did not want to feel like they had no way to beat this team. We know Durant's gone, but they had lost to them 3 straight times without Durant. And I just felt like this was the old dynasty guys, just wounded pride, feeling like this is the time they got to start playing well. They don't like hearing that they can't win on the road, so we'll see how that works. But they wanted to get there by putting the pedal down on this Phoenix Suns team. And the fact that Booker and CP3 are the two they're looking at are really, you know, Kerr put Clay on Booker. Like, I don't, he has not done that. And he's, as he explained, you know, who's he also is going to put on him? They don't have that many options, but I think it was,
he could have put Clay on CP.
Yeah.
CP
don't well, Steph, like well, then that. With Steph or Poole would have had a guard. I mean, not Poole, Steph.
No Wiggins, no Payton, yeah, no Kuminga.
I thought Draymond could have guarded him. I mean, he could have put Draymond on him. But they put him right in front of Clay. It's like, you know, putting a little piece of meat in front of Clay. Like, go get him. And Clay still had it in him to do it. He was bouncy. He was great. Clay was fantastic.
I think a big part of this, too, was I think they know very well that they could see this team in the playoffs.
First round.
Yeah, and they're like, just so you know, it won't be the easy win you think, right? Like, I feel like that's – see, you know, Steph said the 2014 thing. It was like, you know – it was like one of them like moments in time where it's like, yeah, you used to do this and you used to foul me and I would lose the ball. It messed me off my game. Like, that's how he was. He wasn't so strong. But now it was like, I'm way too strong for you. You can't do anything to me. But also, you remember you don't want to see me in the playoffs, right? Remember what I do to you in the playoffs. I think it was some of that. The Warriors were like, in case we see this team, we need you to know what it's going to be like to try to win in Oracle. Or Chase Center.
Where they are now 29-7, by the way, second most home wins of any team in the league. But it's very difficult for me to categorize this as an important win or a big win. I guess important.
Would have been a bad loss.
It would have been, yeah, it would have been a semi-bad loss.
Just for the playoff. Just like, playoff. Like, they got to win every home game because we know they're likely to lose most of the road games.
Clay doesn't think so. You asked him about it.
Well, hey, they go 3-2 on this.
I thought he was about to say a record.
Yeah. You know, like, I think he was thinking it.
We're going to win.
It's tough when you say, unless you're going to say undefeated, it's weird if you say 4-1. Because then you're like, all right, who's the loss guy? He's like, yeah, I'm probably going to win. Memphis.
Yeah, we lose by 30 in Memphis.
By the way, when he was at, or Steph was actually asked about Memphis, did you see Clay's face when the Memphis, like, is it a rivalry question was lobbed their way? Clay was just doing this eye roll,
being like, "Hey, I don't want to be short, but no, not a rivalry. They don't like that team. They don't like several teams. We'll see who they end up getting. You know, I think winning like this is home. They're gonna get in the whatever 6, 7, 8, 9. They're gonna get in that slot. They're not gonna miss everything.
Tied for 5 now, so 5. Yeah,
I mean, they could
available.
Get 6. I mean, it's looking like they could get 6, and I thought that might be too high for them. A couple games ago, but other teams are losing around.
Once again, the West stinks. Yep. It's mediocrity all around. When you're off, you gain ground because people lose around you. So it's like,
and you know, I don't know that they're feeling. People are feeling that 1, 2, and 3 are that super, right? I mean, with Durant, it's different. But Marcus and I were looking at that. You know, even when Durant comes back, Phoenix is still going to have to play a lot of those bench
four.
Guys.
I mean, 1, 2, 3, you're mentioning. Yeah. Denver, who, by the way, just lost to San Antonio, the Bulls, and I think maybe the Cavs at home. And then 2 is Memphis without Ja, who we don't know if we'll see him again this season. And then 3 is the Kings, which, you know, they're dangerous as hell. But,
I don't think the Warriors would fear any of those matchups. Maybe Durant with Phoenix, but Phoenix is pretty thin. Like, that second unit got destroyed tonight. It's a whole lot of, like, you know, not special players. Bismack Biyombo.
Biyombo. You know, how about some of those shots from Bismack Biyombo?
It was weird because Jock, like, hurt the Warriors. Like,
yeah, in Phoenix.
It was so weird that they went to Biyombo. I was surprised by that. But, yeah, like, campaign, he can get hot, but they have a lot of guys.
This is where Durant really helps him, though. You get in a playoff series – you just go small with Durant. I mean, Durant could basically be your five, especially against the Warriors, right? I mean, you don't need a backup center necessarily. But they are thin. You know, a lot of Josh Okogie, a lot of Torrey Craig, a lot of Damian Lee.
A lot of Wainwright.
Terrence Ross. Yeah, I mean,
Wainwright,
they're just,
yeah.
Yeah, they're thin, again. And maybe in the playoff, you only got to play eight. But and one of them is Kevin Durant, one of them is Devin Booker, so you're pretty well set there. But we'll see. And I'm just saying, it was weird. The Warriors, not weird, but they'd gotten knocked around bad by the Suns, and this was like a slight course correction that they should not be getting swept four games by the Suns. That should not happen. And they won, and they, you know, they had a little squeaky moments there where it didn't look so great.
Got down to four. Markets predicted at half it was going to get down to five, and it even got down to four. Clay, they're now 24-0, and Clay Thompson has a 25-point half.
Like, yeah, it's like when he plays good, they win. I mean, that's like that's been true throughout his career. I was trying to think, have there been great Clay moments? Oh my, that's a Clay game, and they've lost.
Like, I mean, I think that's the stat right there, 24-0 exactly. When he has a 25-point half. Yes, which, by the way, how about 24, 25-point halves in your career?
He does that. Wow.
That's kind of crazy.
Eight three-pointers made in the first half. That's like
– I thought that guy tried to pad his record.
Yeah, he went scoreless in the third quarter. So, oops. But, they've got these guys. They got these guys can do this. And, you know, they're older. The team's not as deep as it's been. I don't think they can get through two, three rounds, you know, forget about all four to win a championship. But this is why we keep saying they're going to be scary for whoever gets them. Just they're going to be scary. They're going to do one of these things. They might do it on the road. We'll see. They've done it in previous, you know, 27 previous series. We'll see if they can do it this year. But this stuff is scary for teams. I just think around the league, the last two games, you've seen Steph go crazy to steal one over the freaking Milwaukee Bucks.
Without Giannis.
Without Giannis, that's true. Warriors without Wiggins, you know, whatever. Everybody's got their withouts. But, and also
beat
then
this. Beat your chest by the win.
Beat your chest, yeah. Oh, I have no comment on that. And then you've got this one where Clay just like, you know, like Clay's being guarded and he's getting these shots off and they're going in. They're not the best team in the league, not the best team in the West, not one of the top four teams in the West. They're still scary and they still have the pride of these champions. And freaking Iguodala played good tonight. Like they've needed Iguodala in the last few games and he has showed up and he's played. We played 16 minutes tonight, something like that. Probably like plus 12. Like this guy.
Reverse dunk.
Yeah, this guy still can play. You know, maybe not many more
games. Plus 19.
Plus 19.
Yeah, 16
minutes. Market.
He had his patent to strip, and then you know looked at his hands.
And by the way, he was icing one of his hands post game. I was like, "Is that on the dunk?"
The way,
he said, "Some old." It was something. I was like, "Not the strip."
That was on Bismack Biyombo, though. So I was like, "The ball's gonna come out anyway at some point," but he did strip it.
Hey, take it where you can get it at this point. By the way, he does not have very much longer to do this. This has already been proclaimed his last NBA season. So these are the dying days. You get a strip. I don't care if it's on Bismack Biyombo. I don't care if it's on. James Wiseman, I don't care if it's on Jock Landale. All right, Marcus, what is a non-Clay player that is like the second thing you're thinking about in this game?
Jordan Poole.
Yeah, I knew it was
Jordan Poole. When he was good, they were rolling. And when he wasn't, it kind of stopped the train. He's got an immense power on his team, right? Like he can really tank it or he can lift it.
Talk about scary.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Both teams. Yeah.
I do feel like, you know, tonight to me was a good little sweet spot for him. They finished with him, but he was at like 26 minutes and we'd like, all right, you're going to take him. Who's it? Clay came back in. It's like, who are you taking out? And they went small.
Paul came out and then went back in.
Back in, yeah. But like, to me, you just gotta put the ball in his hands and live with it, because he just makes so many plays.
And take it out of 30's hands.
They're gonna take it out of 30's hands anyway. Like he's off the ball all the time. So if you're gonna be off the ball, like there's one guy who can dribble the ball across half court and finish at the rim who's not named 30. There's one guy who can.
Yeah,
do that.
But he also has a tendency, especially this year. I think he's top five in total turnovers in the league of just dribbling it to the other team off his foot,
throw it away. Yeah. No, he was good. Like,
also, he did it. And he drew two fouls, and he got layups. He got like
he did tonight. Yeah. What is most valuable to them is when nothing's happening, just put your head down and get to the rim. And he did that a couple times when down four, whatever, down up four, up six, whatever. The things were getting squeezed a little bit, and Poole was just able to manufacture stuff. And we know they don't manufacture baskets. They don't, you know, it takes four passes and a screen and a cut, and then they get a shot. Or Steph just does it himself. The only other person who really does that is Jordan Poole. Wiggins, you know, whenever, when and if he's coming back, but right now they need that stuff out of Poole. Now on the road they need way more from him than he's given them. They need more from a lot of people. Clay's another one. Wiggins had been terrible on the road, but Poole especially, because they stall out. We've seen they stall out on the road. They give up 10-0 runs many times. Jordan Poole out there, they really, I think some of this, I'm not saying they're all talking about Poole, but when you say what do they need on the road, and they and Looney and Draymond and Steph and Clay say better focus, more attention to detail, don't let down, don't feel like it's all over, don't quit. I think some of it might be describing Jordan Poole sometimes on the road.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box, and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Player number three, who should we go with from here? I mean, Steph Curry's like come back from injury, you know, and I know it's the same thing Durant does, which has been so impressive over the last several seasons. You know, he'll get these in-season injuries, MCL sprains. Obviously, the Achilles is the big one, but, you know, various hamstring strains. And they get dropped back on the court. And unlike, you know, we saw it with Wiggins this year. Remember when Wiggins came back from the groin strain? It was like game six, game seven. You're like, all right, maybe he's kind of breaking through here. With Steph, with KD, obviously, you know, we're talking about top 10, top 15 players ever, legends. But they get dropped back in the action, and it takes them a quarter to get back in a rhythm. I mean, Steph is now, you know, rattling off several straight games. It's hard to forget, like, a week ago, he'd been out for a while. He's playing really well.
Yeah, and he's forcing the defense to do crazy things again. Like, they were just like, all right, we're going to blitz him. We're going to trap him. Like you said, like, with Steph on the ball, they're, like, doing it. They're setting it up. Looney had five assists because it's like, all right, we're going to go to the trap, dump it to Looney in the middle. Like, that's what he does. To me, that's why they don't play well on the road, because when you do that, now it's like somebody else has to make a play. Yeah. And now you don't have playmakers, right? You don't have dudes say, all right, I got this 403. So, yeah, he's doing what he does. I still want to see more. To me, on the road, isolation.
He did that a lot late against Milwaukee when they had to have it, but
it's like Javon Carter, Drew Holiday. So you know he can do it on whoever Atlanta throws at him. It's like, Isolation. But, you know, he's...
I don't know. Houston's got a few stoppers. I may not be able to do that.
Houston beat the Celtics tonight.
That could be a bad loss.
Jalen Green, 28 points on 29 shots.
Ooh, I mean, that's pretty good efficiency for him.
I just wanted to just, as the kind of person who's trying to, like, just feel this dynasty, and we're in the end stages of it, seeing Steph and Clay, just because of timing purposes, up on the podium together was a little blast from the past. We used to have that all the time, or before, I mean, even in the podiums, it used to be Steph talking to his locker and Clay at the other one nearby, and had been years and years of this, them talking separately at a podium. And because they were pressed for time, Steph wanted to get to dinner, Clay was ready to go. We had them both up there, Clay delivering a paper airplane to Steph. It just was a little bit of what we felt like when they were in their 20s.
You were touched. Look at
it,
you.
Was, that was a heart, yeah, yeah, like, you know what? It's document, you know, like, these are big times for this. You know, we're seeing the end of this. We're never going to have those three guys ever again be key, you know, this sort of thing ever again. So, yeah, when I see those guys, the funny thing is Clay was...
Tim was playing a piano in the back of the room.
Clay
as this was
good talking up there, and Steph was not that great. Like, I think Steph was a little affected by having Clay there, and Clay was just being Clay and kind of being, you know, open standard stuff for Clay. It just was interesting to me. Usually Steph is so good, so focused, he'll answer directly questions. He's not going to be super colorful, but he will give you an answer that you can use. He will under, and this time he's kind of like, look, feeling the Clay thing there. He's kind of being a little more flippant than usual. I thought that's fine. I just like seeing all these guys in the mix together, because we're not going to have it very much longer, and it will never be like this again.
Your thoughts?
I'm like melting over here. Like, heartwarming. TK, did you shed a single tear?
Yeah. Is this going to be a column in the Athletic tomorrow?
Here it comes. Yeah.
Nah, it's too early. They notice this stuff. They don't say it, but they feel this stuff. And that's my role, maybe, in this, is to remind them of stuff from the beginning. Because MT and I were there at the beginning. We were there before the beginning. And we've seen...
What's the assistant coach you're talking about today?
What?
Russell
Turner. Russell Turner. Yeah, I was talking to Russ Turner with Steph. That's what I forgot, that he was there for Steph. He was there.
I forgot that too.
Beginning.
I was like, wait a second. Because it was Mike Gumbel.
It was Nelly.
But he stuck around.
Yeah. So, I just feel like this stuff matters to the heart of the dynasty, the heart of what we've seen. So I'm going to bring it up when I see it.
No problem. It was an entertaining press conference. You know, you want to break the monotony at times, and I do think Steph...
Raymond tried to get Steph to hold back a minute because Clay was going. They both got finished being ready at the same time.
My favorite part about that is that 0% of Raymond Ritter ever thought, why don't I tell Clay to hold back a minute? Because that would have been an invitation to see ya. So he's like, you know, it just tells you a little bit about both of them, that he would go to Steph for the, can you hold off maybe? Okay.
But Steph had dinner to get to. He had the family around, so he had dinner to get to.
Family around, which included Sonya Curry late, so you have the games is, you know, out of hand at that point. Jermichael Green kind of gets into it with Damian Lee, which was kind of funny in its own right. Jermichael Green, who was really trying to get after Damian Lee at one time, like, really hot.
Been wrestling through a couple times. Yeah,
but, you know, he gets broken up and he gets brought over, and I know Jermichael Green and Draymond are very close and cool, and, like, I don't know what Draymond exactly said to him, but you could tell he came over and Jermichael Green started laughing. I was kind of thinking, it was like, do you know who Damian Lee is?
They were talking about that in the locker room afterwards.
Yeah, I talked to Draymond about it.
Don't get thrown out because we don't have any more bigs. That's what he was saying. Well, we don't have any more bigs to play because this is our team. I'd have to go back in and play if you get thrown out.
Yeah, but the other thing was Sonya Curry, like, kind of inserted herself into the proceedings a little bit, yelling from the Steph box, suite.
She was getting Damian Lee's back. Damian Lee is married to her daughter, right? So
that's something I just wonder if Jermichael Green was told that, like, after it happened. Let's go through a family tree over here a little bit.
Draymond is telling her, you know, you need to go on that side. If you go, like, you either with us or you get us, you need to go on that side. And him and Sonya has it back and forth. I thought it was Sonya from a distance. I wasn't sure until you told me. I was like, that lady.
I got the binoculars
Sonya
up there, and I was like, who? Hey,
it was super animated. It was a lot of laughter, but they were talking trash, and Draymond was like, oh yeah, like, if she ain't with us, then she's getting it too.
She hopped over two sections to get closer.
He's like, come here. She's like, yeah, I'll come. And he's like, I was talking about it. He's like, Sonya's always down to talk trash. She don't pull no punches.
So he loved it, and she was saying, you know, I'm gonna call his mama, right? I'm gonna get Draymond, and Steph obviously says it's like AAU again. Can you imagine Sonya at AAU games? I was just, as he said that, I was thinking she was probably wild in a crowd during AAU games. But Draymond's point is, if he ain't with the Warriors no more, so you got to roll with the Warriors. If not, go on that side.
That's playful in a win. If it was the end of a loss and JaMychal was throwing haymakers.
Yeah. I don't think she would have been doing that either. I think it would have been a little calmer. But it was funny. At some point, JaMychal, that is Steph's brother-in-law. Yeah. So you know, might not want to throw that punch or whatever you're going to do. And it was calm. But I just was laughing because he and Draymond were talking in the locker room saying, you get thrown out. We have no more big men. Don't get thrown out of a game like this. So we don't want to go back in. So NBA, man, NBA life. It's very
Speaking
interesting.
Speaking of JaMychal Green, played a good game.
Is he? He's been pretty good lately.
Is he becoming a JaMychal Green?
He's hitting the three, so that helps a lot. You know, sometimes it's just can you hit the three or not? And he's hitting them, and he's rebounding. He's scrapping now. He's got, you know, he's not a guy you want to throw the.
He ain't Otto Porter. He's not Otto Porter.
Not. Definitely not. But he's rough. I think they like that and they need that.
Draymond likes it. Yeah. Draymond thinks the team needs more of that.
Yep. And, you know, the ball's bouncing around loose, you know, just he'll shove somebody and grab the ball and that helps. And again, it's so important. You got to hit the three. Then everything else is so much more valuable because you've hit the three, or at least you're somebody they have to guard. If he's somebody they don't have to guard, then that's a problem. Obviously, you know, they've got some non-shooters on this team, but I think he's helping them. Wiseman's putting up some numbers, got all the more power to him. I think he's incredibly talented. He could not be doing what JaMychal Green does for them. He could not be doing it. He had proven that. And JaMychal Green has a, you know, maybe a bad game every three games now instead of every other game. And that's valuable to them. They need that stuff. Sometimes they don't need him against certain teams. Some teams they really need him. And tonight he played pretty well.
9 points, 7 rebounds.
Both plus
two. Plus one. 2 steals, a block. That was it. Like, you felt him. You felt he was in the game. Like, you felt him was there. And not because.
Remember that pick six? It wasn't even pick six. He, like, stripped somebody at half court and went ahead of dunk in the first quarter.
Yeah,
it was part of that.
Pass. Yeah.
It was like, wow, everything's really going right. Because he goes pick six, and then Moody comes in. I was like, oh, wow, Moody for a minute. And then it was like, and one for Moody, and he almost got another and one. But, yeah, anyway.
They gave all that up.
Yeah, they did. All right. Well, this is a Warriors plus minus. So maybe a couple bigger picture, like non-game related things going on with this team. Let's start with Wiggins. we can start. I mean, there was a Gary Payton II update today. It was planned. It wasn't like, uh-oh, like some revelation. He's doing something, you know, very different. But he's kind of creeping back towards contact work.
I don't know. Just read the release, you know, read between the lines. Sound like. When they come back home, he might be.
I didn't get that sense. He has not done contact work yet. Reevaluated in 10 days.
Yeah.
And so
not
that,
2 weeks. Not, you know, that was
that
a wild
like time of the road trip.
10 days is the end of the road trip. So when they come back from the road trip, hey, he's in contact practice or something like that. That would be my guess. We'll see. Complete guess.
In 10 days, they start the ramp up. Is what I would guess. Because the last thing you want to do is have him play and then he's out again, right? I mean, you just can't have that. And he had that with Portland. But
he'd help.
He'd really help with his road trip. It's not going to happen. But he's somebody that Steve Kerr is going to find minutes for him no matter what. Like Andre, like you're going to play if you play defense like that. Yeah, they said by the end of the season, that's right. They said right before the playoffs, I think that's what they said. Maybe. So they got, 14 left now?
When we initially heard, like, you know, the physical had been failed, the initial timeline we were being told was 2 to 3 months. That's what they were staring at that was freaking them out about this physical and almost made them renege on the trade, told them this guy's going to miss 2 to 3 months.
So
now
April 3 is May.
Yeah.
Now, I think, obviously, maybe, you know, you could speed up the process as well as you can. We'll see. But, you know, I think they always knew. Like, two was the optimistic side. And, you know, maybe late 1.5 months. I mean, we're talking from the trip. When was the trade deadline? Like, February?
4th? 9th?
So I think 9th. So, you know, 2 months would be April 9th.
That's the final game of the season. He'll be right back for that. Ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe we'll see. We'll see how he responds to when they do start kind of throttling him back up. So we'll see. Wiggins, nothing new from a couple days ago. I talked about this with Sam Amick when there was the pregame presser with Steve Kerr where he kind of painted a much more we'll see type tone on it. I know you were noting that. I don't know. I really don't know when we'll see Andrew Wiggins again.
Again this season, I imagine we're going to see him again. But, yeah, it's a question mark. But what's been pretty clear is they're okay with it. And, you know, I know fans are very anxious. I know it's certainly their right to wonder. But, you know, if the team's okay with it, if the players are okay with it, if it's an understandable, logical, and, you know, I don't want to say humanitarian, but if it's the what Andrew Wiggins should be doing, then you just you accept that and you go into see if he's back, he's back. And it may not be this season. And that's would be a, you know, a very, very large blow to any chance to go too far into the playoffs. We know that, how good he is and how important he was. But you just got to move past that at this point because that's the way the Warriors are approaching it. And if this was not, I don't want to go too far, but if this was a semi-bogus thing, I think we would be hearing about it. I think Sam said that, you know, a couple days ago on the pod. Like, if it was iffy in any way, I think there would be some, you know,
there'd be more grumbling or hinting than there has
been at least. And as far as I know, that hasn't happened.
Yeah, second it. I don't know what to say about it. Like, you do get a sense they're starting to prepare mentally for the possibility he might not be back. Like, it went from, yeah, when we get Wiggins back, to, you know, if we get him back. Yeah, if. But there are also some people in that locker room who are like, if we get Wiggins at GP2, like, we're ready to take on just about anybody. So it is central to that. You wonder without that, like, do they feel the same, right? Like,
well, they're not the same. Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. But
and, you just know, think about if you strip Wiggins and GP2 from last year's team in playoffs.
Oh, it's like their third and fifth best player in the playoffs. And that's, you know, maybe their second.
Second
and fifth best player. But, yeah, I mean, you know, what you don't want is to build up hope and then he doesn't come back because he's not ready to come back. So I don't think they're going to do that. Just doors open, you know, and he does what he does. But, you know, you're probably going to get a lesser Wiggins even if he's back. Because we've seen him, you know, when he's out for a while, it takes a while to get back in rhythm. He just hasn't missed time like this. This is the first season where he's, like missed time. Yeah. So the first time he missed it due to the injury, he was way off for, what, about 7 games? And then got back into it and then came back out. Again, this is what now? 15, 20 games? I don't even know how many it's been.
I remember last time he was talking about how surprising it was, how tired he got.
Yeah.
He was like, yo, I just thought I'd get out there. And he was like, yeah, no, it didn't work like that, but. He never misses time like this.
Okay, next subject. The ever interesting 15th roster spot this saga of an empty 15th roster spot for this season, which was filled for the first time by Lesher Quiñones, whose 10-day has expired, and he played a total of 0 minutes and 0 seconds during that 10-day. He is not expected to get a second one. Steve Kerr did, to a Tim Kawakami question pregame, mentioned that he expects a decision coming in the next few days. Anthony Lamb was in the locker room tonight. Ty Jerome was inactive because he couldn't be active because the 15th roster spot was no longer filled, so his eligibility was stripped. And, you know, it would seem to be leaning towards Anthony Lamb eventually finally getting this roster spot, and the Warriors just must – front office ownership must decide when they are ready to pull the trigger from a financial standpoint, because that just seems like the obvious thing that's going to happen.
It's a dollar count. I mean, fans might go crazy with this, but they could have done it today, and I think they decided that they could win this game without the whatever cost, you know, probably, you know, tens of thousands
how
of 50,000.
How could they possibly come to that conclusion? Yeah. They could win without Anthony Lamb?
I know, that's what one thing I've said. Like, if it's coming down to Anthony Lamb or not, then, you know, this is at the back end of the roster. I get it's an interesting decision. It's an interesting thought process, and it's going to be Anthony Lamb. I would have every. I think they had to protect against Steph. You know, is Steph going to be back fully? Like, do we know we have Steph? If not, they had to protect to make sure that they had the option to make it Ty Jerome. That's why the Quiñones thing happened. It did save them money too, but that gave them some leeway to play Jerome
and make sure that Steph was okay. Steph's okay now. They really need some forwards. Quiñones 10 days up. I think they're going to sign Anthony Lamb. I mean, he has to agree to it too, right? But I mean, I'm sure.
So you could convert him, and that's just like a prorated minimum rest of the season, and he goes in the offseason as a restricted free agent. The larger expectation from just logically would be what you'd have to use to do the multi-year deal. You'd have to use the prorated rest of the TPMLE that they have, and they have a little of that just to get it into a multi-year deal. That is something he'd have to agree to. Yeah. And you know, that then the bartering becomes what's guaranteed, what isn't beyond this season, whatever. But
That might have been happening the last few days. Again, I would guess that they didn't do it today.
It wasn't happening the last few days.
Okay, well, that they didn't do it today because they were saving the money. You know, every day they don't do it.
You're correct. Yeah. It's a money thing.
Yeah, and money was locked up with the Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah. They just can't get to it. I don't know. I think some of Marcus's money might be locked up in the Silicon Valley Bank. It's a lot of money there.
Hey, but I've been assured that anything over 250 will be covered.
You projected over 250? But it's multiplied by this, you know, luxury tax, all these things. I think they will have Anthony Lamb on the roster, active, to start this road trip. I just think this is when the percentages become important. It might be important to have Anthony Lamb out there. You might steal a road win if you have him out there. Odds are it doesn't matter, but every percentage now counts. They're not just dealing with the second or third seed here, right? They're dealing with they're going to get a friggin', seven seed, six seed, and that is really important to them right now.
Well, because not only that, you know how you make money? You get in the playoffs. You get some home games. You get a play-in home game. You know, it's not just about, saving money a little bit here or there. Like, you got to go get money, and that's still waiting out there for them.
Yeah,
so.
That is an interesting thought, right? It's like, if we got to get in the playoffs, we need Anthony Lamb to do it. Like, I'd also think they're eyeing the four seed. I don't think they'll get there, but I think they're thinking.
I think
about
the
it.
Five. The problem is they do not have the tiebreaker over Phoenix, despite the win tonight.
They got some issues there.
I don't think they'll get there.
The five is. Yep. By the way, they're playing the Clippers for the five seed on Wednesday.
In LA, though.
Yeah,
will that be an issue?
In LA, right?
Yeah, they're always good in LA too. By the way, they never screw up.
They'll be going for the sweep in LA this year. They'd be 0-4 if they lose that game.
Yeah. They obviously need the Suns to, tumble a bit with no KD. But, man, who wants number four seed the most? Like Steph or Joe Lacob? Like, give me them home games.
or does Joe Lacob, would he mind a seven seed play and you get the home play-in game? Even if you lose it, you get another home play-in game? Then you squeak into the eight and you get Denver?
I'll tell you, when they really make their money is the Western Conference Finals. I don't know that they're getting it. That's when the $14 million per game comes into play. Before that, it's like $7 million per game. But it's a lot of money no matter what. And they want as many home games as possible. They want to go as many rounds as possible. And, if Anthony Lamb gives you a 0.7% chance of getting a little bit better position at this moment, it's worth it. This is when you do it. I'm sure the head coach is thinking that way.
He's been pretty transparent through this whole process, like, that he wants him.
Yeah.
So.
But, he has no say. That's Bob's.
Yeah, you got a better question for
he's
Bob.
He's like, that's
better
a question for Bob. But let me tell you what I actually want. Steve is great at that politics game.
Just especially with Wiggins out and with
Kuminga's, getting close.
You do need another forward body just in case somebody gets in foul trouble, somebody gets hurt.
Iguodala's not playing both sides of a back-to-back. They have a Friday, Saturday, Atlanta, Memphis. Exactly.
And it's about Moses played today. One terrible. Yeah, go guard Booker, and Booker didn't torch him. I mean, that wasn't terrible. He clanked a dunk, but then he got one over Biombo. The three-point shot seems to have completely abandoned him, but that happens when you're not playing that much. Kuminga, you imagine Kuminga's going to be back. They probably could use him on
the road trip. They listed him as questionable, and that's usually a very good sign. They only ruled him out like pregame.
Yeah, I imagine so. They're going to play him, and he's going to play on the road trip. And that's the kind of player who's good for, like, say it, like these road games are Kuminga kind of games. Just go out there and play scatter ball. Just run over people. You're not going to do all the pattern set stuff because the defense is amped up. The crowd's on you. You got to do other weird stuff. Kuminga sometimes just screws up that stuff really badly, but sometimes he makes a difference. He gets three buckets in a row. He gets a steal, a deflection. That random stuff is what they don't have this year that much. He does do some of that random stuff.
Anything else about this team, big picture, before I get us out of here?
I got nothing.
Nah, I don't know. Oh, Clay and Steph did a press conference together. You heard that? It was pretty emotional.
Two airplanes
were firing off.
Two airplanes and one piano.
It's a violin. So.
Violin, even better.
I'm gonna put together such a podcast tribute to those two guys. It will get you.
I will produce it. Lay it to Titanic. Ah.
Okay, road trip is at LA, at Atlanta, at Memphis, at Houston, at Dallas. I would give them the Houston win. I think Atlanta's very winnable. I think Dallas, considering the way they're playing, is winnable.
Dallas would be the one I'm circling because it would mean so much to them in the playoffs race. And I think Dallas is gettable.
But, yeah, it is. LA's tough, and Memphis on the second night of back-to-back is going to be tough.
1-4.
I think 1-4 is the basement because of the Houston game. I think 2-3, if like we were predicting and being skeptical predictors, because we probably should be considering what they've gun. I think 2-3 is kind of like
3-2 start the parade.
3-2, like, yeah, they're gonna
which, by the way, five, you want to find they had a 3-2 road trip this year. Can you guys remember it?
No idea.
It
wasn't against Orlando or Detroit.
It was not. That was an 0-5 one. That was a
wasn't it Dallas?
Nope.
No, it wasn't. 3-2.
Must have won in Utah.
Nope.
No, I have no idea.
They went into the Alamo Dome where Marcus Thompson was there. They won that game. That's right. Then they went a couple days later after doing the White House trip, and they won in D.C. And then on the back end of that road trip with nobody playing, Ty Jerome went in and sliced up the Cleveland Cavaliers to complete a 3-2 road trip. And then they came back home and lost to Andrew Nembhard and the Pacers with all their guys back. So, yeah, they actually did have a 3-2 road trip this year.
Oh, you know, first game back from road trip is always the toughest.
It's always basically another road game.
Just count it as a road game.
All right, we got it. All right, we will talk to you, I don't know, at some point soon.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.